Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
When we allow freedom to ring, when it rings from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we'll be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men and Jews and Gentiles and Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands. The difference is not the color of their skin. The difference is the Lord Jesus Christ.
The truth is, critical race theory is antithetical to the gospel. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young concludes his conversation with Dr. Ben Carson on Christianity and critical race theory. You'll see why critical race theory runs completely contrary to the gospel message and why, as Christians, we must push back against it. Stay tuned. Before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a timely resource from Dr. Young called Healing Broken America. This powerful book identifies the five areas where America has lost its way and offers practical biblical remedies to these vital issues. We'll send you Dr. Young's book as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and others all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy of Healing Broken America when you give, and discover how you can be a catalyst for the revival, renewal, and refreshment of our nation. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Created Equal.
Go to South Korea, and there's lights everywhere. In South Korea, it's progressive, they're fluent, there's freedom, and arguably the most Christian nation on the earth. Go to North Korea, what did you find? The very opposite. You find the dictatorial leadership of a godless family. You find right is determined by might. You define a military enemy when people are starving. Education is practically non-existent, and they live almost as slaves in North Korea. You say, well, the difference is the color of their skin, the melanin. Well, you go to Korea and you see a North Korean, my goodness, the color of their skin and their eyes look so much like a South Korean. Have you noticed? But one country is in darkness in every way. The other country is in light in every way. The difference is not the color of their skin. The difference is the Lord Jesus Christ. Woke history would have everything defined by the color of your face. Human history is defined by grace. The name, Martin Luther King Jr. Who was Martin Luther? Martin Luther was a revolutionary who said, we're not saved by good works, and I'm better than you, and I do more than you, and God's going to rank us up there. He said from the passage of Ephesians 3 and many other places, your salvation and my salvation is based on grace by faith in Jesus Christ. And that is the gospel that Dr. King preached through out his life. He said in a sermon shortly before he died that he hoped that people would know one thing about him. He genuinely loved everybody. What a different thing. No salvation, you're born white. Dr. King said, so eloquently at SMU what the Bible says about all of these factors. Saved by grace. And then the last point. God's history is defined by the absence of race. Have you ever heard anything like that in your life? Let me tell you something. Follow me carefully. You want to read more about this? Read Ken Ham's book. He's developed it beautifully in a biblical framework. There's only one race, ladies and gentlemen. In the beginning, God created man and woman. By the way, there's only two genders. This is a side note. God created man and woman in his image. We are all heirs and part of the family of God. And a little more melanin in your face or a little less melanin in somebody else's face. We're all part of one human race, and that's the only race that we have. Race is a construct of humanity. It is sinful by nature. You won't find anything in the Bible that has to do separating people by the color of their skin. You can't find it. Ethnicity, background, heritage, family, it's not there. And when I sat here with Dr. and Mrs. Carson, I said, Dr. Carson, what if we all had the same amount of melanin in our skin? He said, life would be boring, wouldn't it? We're one race, folks. Color makes no difference to God, and more it should make zero difference to anybody who follows the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you something. You think, well, that's just that man's opinion. Let me get a higher opinion we find here in God's Word. Galatians chapter number 3, and there are many passages along this line. So in Christ Jesus, you're all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed themselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and there are heirs according to the promise of the Old and the New Testament. In the church, I've talked to people who are in the whole woke agenda, and they talk about, well, this is that division, this is that division, this is that division. We have this, and there's no forgiveness because you happen to be white. And I said, in the body of Christ, there is no respecter of persons if we're all in Christ. The color of your skin doesn't mean zip. Understand that. It is biblical truth. Therefore, we don't play all of these games that everybody would have us play. Say we're one in Christ, and I don't even believe race is a reality. It's a matter of the melanin in your face. Now, what do we do at this moment in history? We've had 400 years. The first slaves came. The last, as Dr. Carson said, and I believe the last 10 years at least, it's hard to put a timeline here, America has come a long, long way. We're not there. I think the white supremacists and those KKK, ignorant, godless, evil individuals are just about out of business. Thank God for that. That's the genius of America. Because I think 90% of our nation, I don't know exactly, you could debate that, understands that God is no respecter of persons. And more there has been progress and progress in all of these areas and his beautiful deserve. And I attribute that to a lot of factors. Dr. King said when he was touring America, he would go to cities and he'd see churches with steeples up. And he said, in light of the suffering, the Jim Crow laws, pushback on voting, the suffering his people were still going through there in the 60s, he said, I wonder what kind of pastor that is and what kind of worshipers of God you find there. When they allow people made in the image of God still to be put down, crushed out, questioned. Oh, yeah. There's an American dream in our Declaration of Independence, in our Constitution, in our bylaws, but that American dream was not written for the African American who was here as a slave. Oh, no. But Dr. King, he did not want to destroy America. You know what he said? He said, all I want we as Americans to do is to live up to the high calling and the principles of our basic documents, even though our forefathers who had written them did not live up to them themselves. Do you get it? Very, very important. So, Dr. King was a revolutionary, godly individual. He spoke truth into power, no respecter of persons. Not perfect, but my goodness, what a brilliant, gifted person he was. When he died, I preached his sermon to Western North Carolina through radio. There in a church that I pastored that was basically not very receptive to African Americans way up there in the mountains of North Carolina. When I went to be pastor of the First Baptist Church of Columbia, South Carolina, where I was before I came here, I didn't preach a trial sermon. Traditionally, a prospective candidate sat up, preached a sermon. Everybody's got one or two good sermons. And they said, oh, we want him to be our pastor, but I don't do that. They asked me to preach, and I quoted John 3:16 and walked out, just like I did here. I said, if they don't get that, they will not get me. That's all I did. I did that in Columbia. But the first deacon's meeting I went to, in the church where the secession convention was held. Oh, yeah. This is where the South seceded the Union. Right in that building, right where I preached, had the slave backers around it. And when I went there, they had boarded the front doors of the church because they would not let someone who didn't have the right color of skin into the church premises. Yes. Right downtown Columbia. We had two African-American colleges there, and some were trying to get in. Before I got there, they didn't let them in. And the rumor was, after they'd been without a pastor a couple of years, said, who are they looking for to preach there? They said, they're looking for a 28-year-old retired Confederate general. But my first deacon meeting, never having preached, just having been voted, they sat down at a table like this, about 25 men. One of the deacons was the governor of the state of South Carolina at that moment. So we got in there and they said, here's our new pastor, Ed Young. And so I was seated there. I said, gentlemen, let me communicate to you as clearly as I can who I am. And I told them, as pastor of this church, if you retain me as pastor, I'd just been voted in the Sunday before. This church will be no respecter of persons, and we'll take anybody, any background, any color of skin into the family of God through Jesus Christ, and there'll be no limitation to that. We're going to do away those doors. They had the front doors boarded up where you had to go in the side doors. That was what it was. And I said, I want to know where you spiritual leaders are on this. We're going to pray. Put your head down on the table. Everybody pray. Your position. I prayed. I said, now I want to know where you stand, gentlemen, if I'm going to be your pastor. If you believe what I believe, that God is no respecter of persons, and we're going to welcome and rejoice with anybody who comes and worships in this house of God. If you follow me with that, or you want to keep your bigotry and your prejudice that this church has been known for, and I let them vote. I would say 65% voted with me. A handful did not vote, and the others voted to keep the church closed. Among those who did not vote was the governor of the state. Uh-huh. 2 years later, after he'd been under some gospel preaching, he made the nominating speech in the Democratic Convention for John F. Kennedy. So God opened up some eyes, I hope. And when I left, they appointed a committee to find a successor. And on that committee was an African-American man. I was speaking in Richmond, Virginia at a revival. Had a wonderful musician, a singer, flew with me, and we were staying in a hotel there in downtown Richmond. And every night I would go through there, and we'd go through the lobby, and I discovered that Mrs. King was there at the same time. And this musician knew her and knew Martin Luther Friendly as friends through the years, and so I met her, and we had a chance to visit there in the lobby for several nights. Let me tell you something. She was as fine and as brilliant, I would say, or more so even than her husband. She was a delightful lady. So I have sort of a ongoing relationship with admiration for what that Christian man did, because what Martin Luther King advocated in bringing harmony and reconciliation to all people is the total opposite of what the woke people are seeking to do for all people. It's diametric. One is godly and one is ungodly. One is biblical and one is not biblical. Let me assure you of that, because without grace, we're totally out of business. So, with that being said, I'm going to do something with great reticence, but I think it needs to be restated. One of the greatest orations, Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, two or three others, would be Martin Luther King's I Had a Dream speech. There in the Washington Mall, maybe a million people present, millions of people heard it around the world. And Martin Luther King dreamed of a certain kind of America. I think we were getting there with, not fast enough, 350 years of bigotry by leadership across the board is too much, folks. We can't deny that. We can't run from that. But we were getting there. And we're getting there because a lot of churches, Christians, that's how slavery got eliminated. In England, it was Wilberforce. And here it was Uncle Tom's Cabin. And here it was Henry Ward Beecher and others who stood against the evil and deadliness of racism. Oh, yes, it was through the church when people awakened to see that in the Bible we are one in Jesus Christ, period, Selah. When they began to preach that and see that, that's where racism was eliminated and still being healed. Did you know I held in my hand a Bible, an old Bible, they have several of them, that were given to the slaves by the plantation owners. Yeah, a slave Bible. The plantation owner had a Bible, and guess they left out one book, Exodus. They didn't put Exodus in. But thank God, there's only one kind of slave we want to be, and that's a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ, where everybody is welcome. With great reticence, I want to be bold enough to read and remind us of what Dr. King did on that historic day. He said, I have a dream that one day every valley will be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. He said, this is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we'll be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we'll be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, said Dr. King, we'll be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we'll be free one day. This will be the day when all God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, my country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. And he continued, and he said, and if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain, Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi. And from every mountaintop, let freedom ring. And he said, and when this happens, when we allow freedom to ring, when it rings from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we'll be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men and Jews and Gentiles and Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands. And we'll sing the words of that old spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we're free at last. Ladies and gentlemen, God is no respecter of persons. He does not play favorites. He says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Let me tell you something. Before we could become a Christian, before we receive the good news of the gospel of salvation and new life and forgiveness, there has to be bad news. We have to realize that we're lost without God, and our sin and our garbage will tear us down and beat us up now and forever. And that's why the gospel is amazing good news. We see who we are and we see what we're not, and then God comes and says, John 3:16, for that whosoever believes in Jesus and receives him not only as Savior, but as Lord, Commander-in-Chief of your life, of my life, then we have eternal life now and forever.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word, and we'd love to strengthen you further with a powerful book by Dr. Young. It's called Healing Broken America. In it, Dr. Young clearly defines the five areas where America has lost its way and offers some common sense, biblically based remedies for bringing a nation back from the brink. This timely resource is our thanks for your gift of support to keep this program going strong. So call now to request Healing Broken America when you give to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-WALK. 9255. We're glad you joined us today. Come back next week for more proven truth with Dr. Ed Young right here on The Winning Walk. Have a great weekend.